You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everybody, hey yeah, baby, are you ready? Wah, wah. Welcome back to the Get Tucked Podcast. I am your host, Tuck. What is really good, my friends? I went to Mexico and I didn't burn all my skin off. Woo! It was sick. My wife and I took a vacation because we felt like it, and it was great. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Yep, it is. Okay, I've had a few friends holler at me saying that they've listened to Valley Heart since that episode, the last one, and I love it. Kevin is such a sweetheart. Glad you guys have been enjoying that record. Valley Heart fucking rules. And speaking of like new music and discoveries, today I was listening to the State of the Scene podcast with Sam and Marcos this morning, and they talked about a band called Ithaca and showed a little clip, so I was like, I'm gonna fucking check this out. It sounds awesome. It's like kind of screamo. It's got some like portrayal of guilt, kind of blast beats, and some beautiful choruses. I think you guys would like it. Go listen to the band Ithaca. It's fucking sick. New band. It was at least new to me. So shout out Sam and Marcos. Thanks for that. And if you don't listen to State of the Scene podcast, go do that too. Okay, new Fit for a King song, Reaper, has been out for a couple weeks and it's heavy as all fuck. I know you fucking love it. And if you don't, you're an idiot. You know we're going to be making some more announcements. We may or may not have an album. We may not have new music and a whole bunch of other shit to show you guys. So it's coming soon. Be prepared. New The Gloom in the Corner is out. They released a new track called Ronin and announced they're signing to Sharp Tone. It's been something that we've been working on for a long time now, and I am very, very excited to be finally showing it to the world. It's been an absolute joy to work with these guys on their release, and super thankful to Sharp Tone for teaming up with us. So go give it a listen if you haven't yet. Ronin by the band The Gloom in the Corner. And their new video for Ronin is also out on YouTube. So either way, go check it out. Don't be stupid, bitch. Okay, this week on the show, we have mastermind Jack Simmons of Slaughter to Prevail. Jack has been super cool. Lets me pick his brain here and there in the DMs over the last like year or two. And out of the newer heavy bands, might be my favorite. Definitely like top two or three, but might be my favorite. I mean, you know, there's a lot of bands that want to be super heavy, but also be able to have like melodic choruses. And I swear, if you hear Baba Yaga and you don't want to tear your fucking bedroom apart, drive your car off the road, you're a stupid bitch. It's fantastic. I fucking love this band. Jack is a really great songwriter and quite the businessman. It's been really nice getting to know him. So with that, let's swan dive into this fucking bitch. Here's my chat with Jack from Slaughter to
Flesh We Ate. That was the core of your innocent hate. Broth we drank, flesh we ate. Love through the pain, nothing but fear.
Jack Simmons! Hi. Hey. What's up?
Yo, what's up, dude? What's up?
Good. Are you fully prepared to get tucked today?
I think so, man. I think so. Okay. I mean, we'll find out, right? We'll find out.
Absolutely. It's a real honor to have you here. You're a fucking legend. This is sick. I'm excited. That's what English people say, right? Legend?
Legend, Legend. It's fucking legend, man.
I'm not even going to try to do a fucking accent because it's just atrocious. I do a really, really, really fucked up Australian accent sometimes, though. But usually when,
yeah, you say those girls over there.
You ever see, there's this thing.
Hey, you move, fuck them.
I think I know what you're referencing, that cartoon.
The YOLO cartoons, yeah.
Oh, fuck no, mate.
I'm going to get in your asshole.
It's just great. I love it. Big fan. Fantastic cartoon, and I can't wait to go to Australia in a week and a half. So if you're listening to this and you're on Australia, go buy tickets and have fun because it's gonna be great. It's us and Alpha Wolf. Why wouldn't you want to go? It's super moshy. But hi, your band. You're not in America. Actually, your singer is currently in America, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the new Florida man. You know, wait
is
for
he
his
living
headline.
There now?
Yeah, Orlando, I believe.
No way.
Well, he's currently
gonna be American now. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool. Is he still gonna wear like lots of like made in Russia stuff while being in America? And then all Florida people will be like, "Wow, this is my favorite guy ever." What a place to go though, because he likes guns and shit, and like, you know, loud things and big vehicles. From what I see on the internet, I don't know him at all, but I'm a fan.
Yeah, so, for sure, man. For sure.
First thing I'm going to start this interview off, which I find is a really cool thing about your band. And I don't know, I had hit you up about this a while ago, but Ryan Kirby, singer of my band, my buddy, he has an adopted son who's like, 11 or 12. He's pretty young. Kid. His favorite band is your band. And he wants a mask so fucking bad. And Kirby's going to get him one if he, you know, doesn't act like, you know, a little, you know, something. He's got to be a good kid. And then maybe he'll get a mask. you know, that's, it's funny. Amazing. I cuss so much on this show, but then I was like, I'm not going to make, like, it's Ethan. So why would I, I'm not going to even joke about that. Good kid. He's a great fucking kid. I buy him Pokemon cards because we both like Pokemon. But really nice kid. And it was cool to see that you guys, like the way that he listens to the band, talks about the band, you know, knows the lyrics, wants the mask, all this kind of shit. I was like, is this the next, like, you hate to say it, but like the next coming of Slipknot? Like, is this that next thing for like generational folks, young kids who don't have a Slipknot? This is that thing for them. This is the first.
I mean,
how fucking cool is that? I just think it's neat.
I love it. Like, I mean, for, was it Ethan? Sorry.
Ethan.
Yeah. We'll sort him out a mask for sure, man. We'll have to sort him something out for sure.
Oh, dude, that would be super sick. Very sweet. He just like,
Like a Christmas gift or something, you know?
Yeah, right? That would be fucking sick. But yeah, he's just... It's cool to see like a young kid... Because your band is so hard. And I remember what it was like when I was young and I had this buddy Keith who I did Taekwondo with. I'm about Ethan's age and I'm over at his house and he's got Korn stickers in his room. And he's like, yeah, this band, Korn, man, sick. And then he shows me Slipknot, and I just, like, didn't get it. Keep in mind, when I, like, got into this scene, I ended up getting into it through, like, emo, screamo, like, Thursday and Dashboard Confessional. Real soft shit, because I'm a soft.
Awesome, man. That's
I like
sick, yeah.
Pussy stuff. Yeah, I like the girly shit. But it's just so, it's such an interesting thing to see, because I think so many bands try to want to be that, right? Like, that's one of those bands where it's like, when I grow up, I want to be like Metallica. I want to be like Slipknot. I want to be like fucking whatever. You know what I mean? Like, the epitome of the thing. Like, biggest metal band ever for their subgenre, whatever. So, one, I just wanted to tell you that because I think it's fucking cool.
No, it's awesome. That's fucking sick. Yeah, I think it is. I think, like, we never, like, oh, sorry, Kyle, then. We never really, like, tried, but we did notice, like, I really noticed from the start that our sort of fan base was, like, a little bit younger, like actual kids. I think that the mask helps and stuff, like, the sort of, like, persona of the band, and especially with, like,
it's so unifying.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Because anyone can wear it, and it's all the same. It's not that I like that it's not different masks, even though, like, sure, like, the band will wear one color and then he wears the gold one or whatever. Like, but I like that anyone that buys the mask can feel like they're a part of Slaughter to Prevail versus, like, Slipknot has a bunch of different masks. And, like, you can pick a favorite member the way that you can pick a favorite member of a boy band, which I think is really cool as well. But in this, it's more like, I don't know, like, worship of the entity of Slaughter to Prevail versus, like, having it be
differing, like having it be like picking your favorite member. At least just the way I view it. And I think it's really cool.
But, yeah, for sure. I think we were testing the idea of doing like each member having like different stuff, but it felt a little bit forced, and it felt a little bit like that's what we should do instead of what felt like normal to do, you know? And we also like, we had a kind of a revolving door, because at first it was only Alex that had the mask, and that was like, he was sort of the persona of that and of the band. And then we kind of just had this like revolving door of members, problems with visas, and a whole load of bullshit, especially with like touring the States, you know? And so we kind of figured that actually if we kind of, you know, had this one mask, we could swap out, not just swap out members without people knowing or picking up on it, but more like it's still going to be more unified, even if like the worst case scenario happens, you know? Like we've had some absolute nightmares of, you know, feelings and all that. But so I think it's tied in like pretty cool.
I can only imagine because the band seems so spread. But so speaking of which, I guess before we really get into the backstory of the band, would that be part of the motivation for like Alex moving over here? Is just, well, now I don't have to deal with work visa shit I am attempting to become a citizen of the country. Because obviously, like for instance, I work with a band from Australia called The Gloom in the Corner. And one thing that we talk about often is just even when you tour the max out of your country, there's only so much you can do because the country is relatively small in comparison to the United States. Not geographically, of course, but just in terms of the amount of cities that you can play in. So, you know, if Slaughter to Prevail is like a full-time U.S. band in theory, and they can do two full U.S. runs a year with more ease, you definitely make way more money. But it was just I would wonder if that would be like part of just making it easier. I don't know. The only thing I ever hear about other with visa stuff is like friends trying to get married. And even that seems like a fucking pain in the dick. So I can't imagine trying to actually just move somewhere.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like that show, 90 Day Fiancé, you ever seen that? That reality TV show?
I love that show. It's awesome. Yeah, I've been putting mayo on my head ever since that little dude was doing it.
Yeah,
I don't have any hair anymore, but I just polished my head.
That kind of is the idea, you know, like especially for myself and for Alex, the other guys. Yo, sorry, man. Yeah, I think can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Sick.
Okay, great. So let's take the shit back a little bit. So, you know, I was doing the basics, looking through everyone's fun Wikipedia. Now, with you guys, it's cool to see you're one of the like internet bands that's gone beyond the internet band and become like a real worldwide touring act, which is pretty cool. And you were kind of at the beginning of that echelon of stuff where people were collaborating just from interesting internet presences versus like, you know, growing up with the kid down the street and making a band with him and yada yada. So did you find Alex the same way that everyone else did, or how did this kind of start?
I saw a video of him covering Ingested, and at the time, I think it had like 10,000 views, which was good. Like at the time, you know, like, I was like, okay, cool. You know, this guy's just come out of nowhere. It sounds amazing. I just wanted to like write some music with him. And at the time, like with the other bands and projects I had going on, this felt like a little bit different, like more aggressive. And we sort of just connected very quickly on that. And we found like the writing process straight out the gate. We just sort of wrote what ended up becoming our first EP, Chapters of Misery, like super quick, just sending ideas back and forwards. And we just wrote all of it like ourselves, like me and Alex. And then we started being like, okay, maybe we can start playing some shows, or at least Alex can, with like a band in Russia, because there was like a lot of demand for it. And then as he grew, the band also sort of grew along the side almost, you know, like we never really intended, like we always wanted it to be a touring band, but we never intended it to be a touring band. it's just as soon as we started dropping stuff, it just picked up, you know, we were getting offers and it just came together really quickly, to be fair. Like, we weren't really ready for
it. It's about as eye-catching and ear-catching as a band can be. You know, I think out of all the buzz bands of the last, like, 6 years or so, you guys were, you know, definitely one of the hottest of the bunch. I mean, for the subgenre, too, I'd just say, like, you guys, Shadow of Intent and Brand of Sacrifice were, like, you know, the three that people are like, yeah, this is the future. Which is pretty fucking cool. Yeah, I can't imagine, like, just being like, okay, I'm on looking on the internet one day and I see this Russian demon looking kid who's jacked up out of his mind, covered in tattoos, doing these covers. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to approach this guy and see if he wants to make music with me. Like, I think this guy's going to fucking rip the soul out of my body.
Oh, man. Yeah,
to be fair, is he a nice guy? You can blast him if you want right now.
Dude, he's a total cunt. He's a total cunt. He's such a diva. He's rider, dude. is so much cocaine, dude. We're not even allowed in the same room, you know? We have to be, like, separated in the parking lot. He gets his own green room. Nah, he's cool.
He's terrible. He's terrible. Yeah. Oh, I love it. he has his own separate rider, and it's all coke and whores. And yes. That would be great. Man, I wish I had a nice Frank It's Always Sunny clip for right there. But no, that's pretty cool, man. So you guys just put this thing together as a fluke. You're just like, here's chapters. We put it together. Did you mix it or did someone else mix it, that first release?
We have someone else mix it. A friend of mine, Chris Foster. He mixed it for us. I'm not really sure what he's up to be fair, but... Yeah, we got it mixed and we like had some delays and stuff. Like it was very, again, it wasn't so much we weren't like prepared. It was more just like everything just happened so quick, you know, like it went from this fun, like we had demos written and all this to just like an EP and the band's on tour. Like I think when we did our first European tour, we only had like 3 songs out, you know, so we're sort of like, what the fuck are we even going to play? But we were getting his offers. It seemed stupid to turn down the opportunities at the time, you know, and we, like the band was just like, we had guys in the band that are great guys, but it really didn't fit what me and Alex were trying to do at the time, you know, but we were just trying to put this together in whatever way we knew. Like I was about 19 and Alex was, I think 21 or so. So we were fairly young as well. Just trying to make it fucking work. Wow. You know? Yeah, it was good fun. Nice.
Yeah. So you still had some experience before that, though, with Acrania, didn't you not?
Yeah. So I did a bit. Which is like
a pretty notable band, you know, for like death metal shit. And so what age did you start that band?
Oh, Acrania. I was like 16, 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because that seemed to like move pretty well and quick as also. And then just do you still write and record any Acrania stuff or are you just keeping it to just working on Slaughter?
To be fair, we haven't for a while. We kind of just outgrew it almost. Like it was very fun at the time, but we didn't want to ruin what we had done by trying to like piece something together we didn't like feel 100% on. So I haven't written anything for Acrania in a good couple years. But we, like, Acrania was super fun at the time, you know, but to be fair, we were just getting fucked up. We were just going on tour, getting fucked up every night, you know, just having fun and shit. Like it was a great time, but it was never like that serious. And in fact, I think like we had that one clip that like sort of did the rounds, the, send them to the slaughterhouse part that I think it pretty much popped off like just as we broke up, you know? So we never really felt any success either. We were playing to like 30, 40 kids a night on the same tours, playing the same like cities, you know, like it was just kind of fun. We didn't take it too seriously compared to
Norberto is a big Acrania fan.
Oh, Norbert. Oh, he's fucking amazing. Yeah. I love Norbert.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the fucking best. I love that guy. He's a good supporter of the tunes. He's really like his musical taste is all over the place. So I always try to listen whenever he's like, nah, dude, you got to check this out. Like, that's sick. Yeah, kind of a crazy thing to think about with you guys when, in regards to like how you got it going. So in the background, is that all merch or is this, is it for the band or is it for Rising or what's going on behind you?
Oh, this is for Rising. So this is like, we have like a couple hubs now. This is like the one we have out in Europe is, I guess, like goes all the way back. It's shit.
No shit.
Yeah, there's a fuck loads here. There's like, I think it's like 5,000-6,000 items. Is
do you just work for the company or did you start the company?
I started the company. So I started it back in 2018 because, again, just like no fucking money in this shit. It's just, it was so hard to get any revenue. You know, I wanted to do music full time. I wanted to grind it out, but it was like just impossible trying to get any sort of, you know, stable income from it. So I figured the best way was to sort of find something within music industry and like try and, you know, like
monetize it a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Find like a stream of revenue that's going to actually be stable and consistent.
No shit. So did you have a screen printing background or do you, and like, did you, or did you learn as you went? Like how did that work for you?
I didn't have a screen printing background, but I always was the guy that was handling merch for tours. So I had like contacts for like suppliers and manufacturers, but I didn't really know too much. So I would just order it as if I was ordering for tour. You know, here's what we want it to look like. Here's the files. Like, please make it look like this, you know? And yeah. And it's come together good. You know, obviously right now it's kind of a difficult time to be a merch company. The last couple of years with, you know, delays and obviously with vinyl and all that, but it's been a very big learning curve. It's been really, really cool, to be fair.
You guys do have some of the larger manufacturers of vinyl over in Europe, though, right? Aren't they in like, I don't know. Aren't they like Czech or some shit?
Yeah, Czech Republic, yeah. I just got a shipment today. We just received Costolum on vinyl today, and we ordered it. I think we actually put the order in March, like our label put it in March last year. We were meant to get it for December, and it's just arrived literally this morning.
That's crazy. What does that mean, Costolum?
Like,
sorry if I'm saying that really bad.
No, it means to like break a bone, you know, like bone breaker. Like, it's pretty gnarly.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's hard. Yeah,
yes. Ridiculous.
More intimidating things. Yeah. yeah, I guess that's just the fun of it, though. Like, I was thinking about deathcore the other day. I was listening to Suicide Silence with Bob, like the old stuff, and I just really miss it. Like, I'm really over this pussy ass current deathcore of like, I hate myself. It sucks. It's annoying. I don't really think you do hate yourself that much. Otherwise, you wouldn't be writing so many songs about it and putting them on the internet and thinking they're great. But maybe you do. Maybe you're full of shit. I'm not sure. But I'm over it. And I want more like, I'm going to murder you shit. I want more like, yeah, like tear him apart limb from limb. Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I hate my last lover. I'm going to murder them stuff. And I don't want you to go and become a fucking psycho killer or anything. Psycho killer. But I do want that shit because it's more fun. And it was like when Glassjaw was like real fucked up and just wanted to kill people too. It was great. I liked it. It was fun. Yeah. Stop being such a pussy with your deathcore. Not you, please. Alex, if you hear this, for the love of God, I'm not calling you a pussy, buddy. Never. I don't want to die. But other people who are doing it and not being as hard, I think you guys are, you know, bringing it back. Feels good. You know, Kyle's writing about anime shit, so he's not really like, he's not trying to like kill or not kill anybody. He's just like, I like anime. I'm in Brand of Sacrifice. Berserker's cool. And I think that's awesome. Go, Kyle. Listen to my last interview with Kyle. That's great. Love you, Kyle. But Yeah, I like the hard shit. I want it to be extra angry and extra pissed because, like, I just feel like that's the whole point of deathcore.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Do you classify yourself as deathcore or death metal, or what do you think of your band? Because there's lots of influences. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say we're a deathcore band. I would. You know, I think we've definitely put more elements in, but kind of like the point you just made, like, we just want it to be like live and exciting, you know, and have some sort of like danger or something, you know, even if it's with fucking guns or wrestling bears or whatever it is, you know, like, I miss that side of like extreme music, you know, I really did. And that's something we definitely tried to, you know, take on board, but I still think it's a deathcore record.
Yeah.
We just wanted some fucking like new metal riffs. We just love new metal as well, you know, like, it just gets us off, dude, you know, it gets us hard as fuck. So we wanted to incorporate some of that shit back into it.
What is up, Mother Tuckers? Do you want to work with your favorite artist? Looking for that epic feature so everyone will know how badass your band is? Go check out FeaturedX.com. We have an insane selection of singers, screamers, guitarists, bassists, drummers, graphic designers, and so much more. Do you want Ryan Kirby to sing or scream on your song? Maybe you want Austin Archie from Lorna Shore to write the most insane drum parts you've ever heard in your life? Well, guess what? They can. Go now to FeaturedX.com and submit your track. Don't be a stupid bitch! This week's mid-roll mosh is Eve of Mourning by Funeral Wake. Funeral Wake is a super brutal new deathcore band that I've been following for a little bit here, really since like we kind of started the Featured X stuff and shit. They are one I've consistently gone back to when desiring mega gains. Isaac, their singer, gave me the graces to play this on the show this week. I think he's a super fucking nice guy. We've gotten to DM a little bit. He's been really cool. And regardless, really like this fucking band. I think they're severely underrated and you should be giving them more attention. So here we go. Let's give them attention. Eve of Mourning by Funeral Wake. this is a fun conversation about something that's fun, which is your band. And it is exciting and it is like dangerous. And you guys have that element. And I love seeing Alex covered in blood wrestling with a real fucking bear or like holding up machine guns and being a fucking maniac. Because when I want death metal and deathcore, I want a maniac. I don't want like fucking Bill Nye. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that right now. This isn't Ed Sheeran time. This is fucking pop, pop, pop. It's time to be hard. So, it's great. Love it. Baba Yaga was the song of the year. It was so good. And I think that's part of it. Like, it's... What does Baba Yaga mean again?
So, she's like a folktale, like an old woman that will, you know, like in Slavic like folklore... Yeah, kind of like a witch. Sorry, like a witch is the best way to put it. Like a Slavic witch that lives in like a house that's on like fucking chicken legs. And she'll just fuck you up, you know? Like in Slavic culture, parents will be like, you know, you better fucking behave. Otherwise, Baba Yaga is going to turn up, you know? Like it's like a keep like children in check, you know? She eats children and shit. So, well, fuck it.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. Dope, right?
Now that really fits the song. Jesus Christ. That's cool. I'm a fan. Yeah, that was one we were like having one day when I was over at Kirby's house and like listening to that and playing basketball because he has a basketball court in his backyard, fucking piece of shit. But it's so nice too. I like his house. I'm gonna steal it someday. But with the whole mask thing, whose idea was that?
Alex's idea.
So like what, just like when you start the band, you guys are writing these songs, sending them back and forth. Did you even, have you met or anything? You just are sending shit on the internet.
We're sending shit on the internet.
We're sending like back then. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, back then, yeah.
How does he propose to you? Like, hey, when we play the rock gigs, I would like to wear this mask. I'm going to look like a demon man. How did that come up? And yeah.
So we didn't have masks for like maybe the first 2 years. Like we even did, I think the first time Alex actually wore a mask on stage was, fuck, I think it was Summer Slaughter 2016. And
okay,
that was like he would put it on for like the intro, if I remember rightly. And we had like fake blood, you know, so like he'd be like on the side of the stage and have the like sticky horrific like fake blood on him and just the mask. But after like a minute, because it was like how like the old manufacturing of the masks, after a minute he'll just be fucked, so he'll just take it off anyway, you know. It was just for like just for the intro of the set to walk onto. And then it just kind of grew from there, and I think it grew alongside like the branding of what we were trying to do with it as well, you know. But he put the idea forward, and the first mask I remember he sent me, it was like, not that it was awful, but it wasn't great, you know. And I kind of had doubts, but to be fair to him, he's worked amazing. So hats off to him.
Yeah, it's cool to see how it's grown and the way that it looks now versus like when it started. And what a cool like add you could add or thing you could add into your brand as a band. Yeah. Which I think when it comes to, I know I'm trying to like consciously avoid some of the things that you and Finn have already talked about.
Okay. Yeah.
On which if you're listening to this and you haven't listened to the Punk Rock NBA episode with Jack, go do it, you stupid fuck. but your guys' branding is some of the fucking best. It is remarkable. Now, do you do the merch thing, but do you have a design and background or anything like that? Like, have you worked on that, or is it just collaborative between the two of you? Do you just hire people to do it? Because it's such a, I mean, for us, like fit, like we, none of us can design or anything. We generally have like good ideas. We know what we want. We just like tell somebody to make it. And it seems like maybe it's just not having too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, it's just you and Alex that have to make decisions, and that probably makes things a lot easier. It's like, hey, I made the music. Go do the screaming. If you got anything you want to fucking change about it, let me know. And hey, we got some merch going, or this is the mask. What do you think? Cool. Sound looks great. Like, sounds simple.
Yeah, it is. It is really simple, to be fair. It's similar to like how you just described for Fit, you know. I don't have a designing background, neither does Alex, but we just, we talk a lot and discuss a lot, like the vision of what we want to do next and like what we envision for the band. And then we just try and make it come alive, you know, and we go through a lot, especially with like designs and ideas. We kind of change it. You know, it's like the first draft is very different always from like what ends up being the final product. The same with Costellum,
of course,
and Misery Sermon, and like, yeah, pretty much all our releases, you know. But as simple as it sounds, we just create something like we want to see. Like, I want to see a band that looks like this, sounds like this, just plays like this, you know. And it's the same with Alex, and we kind of just do that. And it kind of just feels way more natural than when we first started. Like, there was like a time where we really tried to be like, we wanted to be like the most deathcore band, you know? And we were like, let's try and put this into it just for the sake of like, you know, it's really like popping in like deathcore right now. And I kind of feel like some of the songs felt a bit flat and fake because of that, you know? And we let go of that a good few years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that you guys, it's funny, at a time when the most popular thing to do right now is, you know, like the Will Ramos tunnel, or he would say the Dickie, the tunnel throat thing. And then we hear some new music come from you guys, and there's some Queen influence. And I'm seeing Alex, you know, sing on his Instagram and stuff like that. And I think it's fucking cool. Like, I think at a certain point, we, you know, when you go so far in a certain direction, eventually it gets a little stale and you want to kind of head back the other way, just because a lot of people are going to try. They get so excited about a moment, like, for instance, the To the Hellfire, you know, tunnel throat thing. The reality is that's the best one that's going to happen. Yeah. That's it, guys. It happened. Don't. Just don't. Don't fucking try it. Don't. It's fine. You could do a tunnel thing, but don't do the exact, like, all right, it goes silent. Like, just fucking be original, because that was original, and originality is a beautiful thing. So, just for everyone out there that's at home working on their demos and did that today. It's cool. I get it. I sound like that when I do a Gollum impression from Lord of the Rings, but you know, that's the only time I really do. But just leave it alone. That's Will's. He's going to have that now forever. But speaking of which, new Lorna song. Real good. I like it a lot. But back to your band, because fuck that band. Fuck Lorna Shore. Stupid fucking band. You guys are bad. No, I'm just kidding. Love you.
The new single's fucking phenomenal. Really fucking sick.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So really good. Sick. Yeah. I would hate to have to put out another song after having something blow up that hard. Where it's like, no, this was one of the top 10 most viral songs on Spotify at the time that it came out. You know how many songs come out on Spotify every day? So fucking many. So pretty cool. But back to your band. You guys took your time in between records.
Yeah.
Was that intentional? Was it like you would write something and then not really like it as much later on, and, you know, kept going and kind of like molding this into something? Because now it's certainly panned out and has worked in your favor, because the record is phenomenal. But what kind of, tell me about your inspiration with that. And, you know, just...
Well, for like, if we planned it to be like that, definitely not. Like, it was a lot of stress. There was a lot of internal issues between the band and our management and our label and everything that have been rectified now. You know, we've kind of managed to resolve all of it. But we, like, for example, Demolisher, that song, by the time we dropped it, was like 2 years old, you know? Like, I had it written before Misery Sermon even come out, and we had like pretty much most of Costellum written around the same time period, and it just was taking so long to actually get it out. You know, if it was up to us, we would have dropped that album 2 or 3 months after Demolisher dropped. You know, I mean, fuck, like, even Demolisher, we dropped that out like on Alex's channel without saying anything. It was fucking hectic. you know, and our label's obviously like, what the fuck is this, you know?
Well, I guess sometimes you just have to do what you gotta do.
Yo, can you hear me?
Are you guys... Yeah, it froze for a second after you said that you dropped the song on Alex's YouTube channel. Are you there? He's gone again. But it's all right. I'll write it down, yeah. You there, Bubba?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, last thing that I got from you is that you guys put out Demolisher on Alex's channel because you had waited so long.
Yeah, we did.
So was that, and we won't, like, super, like, you know, go down that road. I saw they just took a picture together, Ash and Alex. I'm assuming things are fine, but that's just kind of with some issues with Sumerian in terms of release.
Yeah, honestly, everything is resolved. You know, it's we don't have any bad feelings or bad blood. We really don't. At the time, and it's nothing against Ash. You know, obviously, like, without going into like any sort of actual details, it was just like this hold up, you know, and even looking back, we don't really even know like what happened. It just wasn't coming out, and we were trying to push for it, and it just felt like, you know, it just wasn't happening. So as chaotic as it is, and in a way unprofessional, we just thought, we want to get this song out there, we'll upload it, and then we'll let everything else figure itself out.
And I will say, one badass job, well done. And sometimes people need to be put in their place, and I think that's a good way to do it, where I get that, like, we're signing a contract and technically you own this, but sometimes when you're gonna be a fuck, you gotta, like, it's just something's gonna happen. So good for you.
Yeah,
I like that. Sure. And also, because in case anybody listens, I've been watching, you watch that No Cover shit on YouTube, the Sumerian Records TV show?
Yeah, well, I watched an episode. It's fucking brilliant.
I watched the first two. I haven't watched the next ones, but I'm going to watch it. If anybody listening, it's like an American Idol show for bands, and the judges are like, fucking like Bishop Briggs lady or like Kellen Quinn's on it, and there's like some cool people involved in the show. You should go watch it. It's pretty good. I liked it, but I can't watch American Idol because it makes me cry.
It makes you cry?
I get real sad. Yeah, the pandemic ruined me, and I was really good at, like, I was like emo, but not that emo, more like White Picket Fence emo, where I was like, oh, life is hard, but it wasn't like that bad, you know what I mean? Like, you know, just pretend, I guess. Yeah. Not really. And then the world ended, and I was like, wow, this sucks ass. And then my wife would be watching American Idol, and someone would be telling their story like, well, I lost my left leg from diabetes, and I've just been trying to sing so much so I can afford to get a new leg. And if you have diabetes and you listen to this, I'm sorry, but whatever. And fucking, and I'd hear that story, and then I'd be like, yeah, I know what it's like. I want to be a singer too. I remember when I was in a band on tour. And then, yeah, so I couldn't watch that shit. And but now I get to do my job again, and that's good. So you
can watch it again now.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't though. I'm not gonna. No. My wife still watches it though, because she likes that shit.
Yeah,
and it's cool. I think it's nice. It fills people with hope.
I've got a question for you though. Did you watch Eurovision?
No, I didn't. But wasn't that dude from Close Your Eyes and shit on it? Oh, wait, you're talking about the movie Eurovision or
no, the
Eurovision, like the actual Eurovision
competition? Yeah.
I didn't. But yeah, isn't that Sam Ryder dude on it this year?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Representing Britain.
That song is amazing. But I watched him sing for Close Your Eyes on the 2014 Warped Tour.
Oh, wow. Really?
So they lost their singer. And before that, he was in that hair metalcore band.
Blessed by a Broken Heart.
Blessed by a Broken Heart.
Yeah.
And So that summer, he joins Close Your Eyes, and maybe they put out a release. I don't remember, but he sang for them that summer. And it's crazy thinking about, like, watching his Instagram now and seeing, you know, the persistence and the way he's blown up. And he's always been an incredible singer. What a smile. the raw talent in that individual is mind-blowing. I hardly talked to him that summer. That was my first real tour with Fit. I was pretty shy. I didn't really make a lot of friends. I kept to myself quite a bit. Because Warped Tour is such an intimidating place because there's like everyone and their mom. And it's like they're all these fucking cool people put together for the summer. But they're tiered off and like, no, like I'm a headliner. You're on the fucking Ernie Ball stage. Like, don't talk to me. You play in the dirt. I definitely felt that before I could, like, there were definitely some people who would like play a small stage, but they're like Paris that summer played half of it and they were like the coolest kids of the whole summer. Like everyone wore a Paris shirt that worked and was on Warped Tour. But, like, that was so not us at all. You know, we were just figuring it out. I think that despite you guys having that 2 years of maybe wanting the record to come out in more relation to or closer to Demolisher and vice versa and stuff like that, maybe the timing panned out well because then you didn't have to have a tremendous record out during such a large chunk of such a piece of shit time period.
Yeah.
You know, where now you guys are such a hot topic to talk about. And it's just been like, I'd say post-pandemic Slaughter has been nothing but hype machine, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I know. I appreciate that. I think so. I mean, now we have the ball rolling as well. We got new music dropping. We got a new single dropping in like a month. About a month.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. 1984. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, is that name of the song? Or is that...
Yeah. 1984.
Do you have 1994 on your throat?
Yeah. I call you looking at that. Yeah, yeah. That's my birth year. Just in case. I forget, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. I would forget sometimes. I'm 1989. I'm an old dog. But that's why I'm trying to keep myself youthful by listening to young, cool bands like Slaughter to Prevail. Wow. You are my favorite band, yeah, but I preferred the first record. The first record was way more vicious. Now the band's kind of gone soft. Why are you sinking? That was my German insult.
You're German.
Yeah, I really much. Last time I saw the band, was much better. You've gained some weight. Why don't you sound as good this time?
Hey, you should have come out the gate with the German accent instead of the Australian one, man. Because that's spot on. I like that.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, I love the things that they say because you really know if your band sucks because a German will tell you. that honesty is unreal. It's pretty fun. So you say you have some new tunes coming very soon.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. How soon is so soon? Like you said, a month or two.
Yeah, we're gonna. I mean, it changes. Like our like timeline of what we end up doing, but we want to just be dropping singles as they come. You know, we feel like there's that long period of time without music, so we just want to write something. If we love it, drop it and just go for it. You know, not worry about an album.
What a way to do it, dude. Yes. I am over it. Records are daunting, and they're good money makers in terms of like pre-orders and stuff.
Yeah.
And I do like doing that, but it's just not, I think that there's more juice for the squeeze if you just release singles consistently.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like on Costanum, there's tracks that were overlooked that if we dropped it as a single beforehand, would have got a lot more like love, you know? So And we also want to play around with our sound and experiment without committing it to like a whole album. That's the other thing, you know. We want to drop a track that might be a little bit more groove or softer, and then think, fuck it, the next one's going to be way heavier, without having to commit to like a whole project being like in this vein. You're, it sounding messy or, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
For sure.
No, absolutely. And I think it lets bands kind of like go with the flow of what their vibe is at the moment more. So like, I'm sure when the time comes that you're like, well, I want to put together a piece of songs that all, you know, fit together cohesively, then like, sure, you'll do it. But if you just like have a single and you're like, this fucks, this is heavy, I think people would kill each other to this. Cool. Let's put it out. Like, just don't overthink it. Have fun with it.
100%.
You guys, I believe I'm looking at your Instagram now. I believe you've had a management change from the last that I knew.
Yeah.
You were with Jason back in the day, right? And now, who's this? Ilya? Yeah. Full-time. What company are they with? Or got any background on that? That's cool. Changes are fun. What is Ninja?
So, Ilya... he runs a company called Booking Machine out in Russia and Eastern Europe. They kind of like a booking agency, and we brought him on. He's like, knows the band very well and the inner workings of what we need, you know, as a band with the members so spread out, and obviously with visas and everything, for just to even like obviously tour Europe or the UK or America, like any major market, there's just so much paperwork. So we sort of like Ilya, we have a really good relationship with. He works like very well for us and what we need, you know, instead of a sort of typical manager and managerial like roles, you know. But he's great. Yeah, he's great. He's really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool. The other members of the band, are they all in Europe as well?
No, they're stuck in Russia right now. And I say stuck as in, for them to even get a US visa, they need to get a European visa to get to Europe, to go to a US embassy, because it was closed in Russia, to then get the US visa.
So how did Alex, I mean, is that even something he's allowed? I guess, I don't know. Are we allowed to talk about that? How did he get out? How is he here?
This is a good story, actually. And this wraps up with like the new song as well. So he had, a interview booked for a tourist visa in the US, right? So he can get to the US, and once he's there, he's legally allowed to apply for like a work visa and a work permit. And so he came to, I'm currently living in Poland, and he basically came.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, it's fucking sick. And so
my great grandma's from Warsaw.
Oh, no way. I'm like a couple hours from there, you know? And so he came to Poland. This was before the war started. Mm-hmm. And he came to Poland and he had his like interview, you know, and he came and stayed with me, and we just wrote the whole time. We wrote this song amongst a few others. And then the day he was meant to pick up his passport and go back to Russia, the war happened like that morning. And so he was fucking petrified. Like, he was super, I've never seen him like it. And obviously, you know, he's got obviously family and friends in Russia and Ukraine. And he basically was like, please, I need to get my passport and please drive me to the airport or whatever. And he got to the airport, and from what he told me, his plane got canceled and he managed to get the last plane out of Poland into Moscow, like out of Europe pretty much. Cause like they were just canceling everything. Obviously they couldn't fly over Ukraine.
Back. War starts and he's like, I got to get back there now. That's crazy.
Yeah. Fucking mental. One day later, and he would have been like, if his passport got delayed 1 or 2 days, I don't even know how he would have got back. He would have had to fly to, I guess, Turkey or somewhere like that and try and work his way back. But
so how has he now found himself in the United States?
So now he, because he had that tourist visa. So because he got that tourist visa, he flew via, I don't know, I think Istanbul or Morocco or somewhere into the States. And obviously he's in, and now he, like, we're all getting our visas processed. And so everything's super tight and on track, you know, but it was fucking difficult.
I truly cannot imagine. And it just sounds very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so much to have to deal with as a band. And I think a lot of people consider, you know, because this is a dream job. That's why the people call, like, wanting to be in a band or a singer, like any, you know, be a solo artist, whatever, an artist in general is a dream, right? And when you have these extra things that are placed on top of that versus just the already intangibly hard task of making people actually worldwide a fan of your art enough that you can support yourself, let alone you're with a, in a country that's at war and has pretty extreme, you know, controversial issues when it comes to probably like attempting to achieve getting work visas and stuff like that outside of the country for touring stuff, really shows the persistence, the perseverance, and adds, I think, to the story of you guys and Slaughter to Prevail so much more, because it's a beautiful thing. It really is. Like, it's, you know, at a time when, you know, even just speaking of about Russia or whatever, it could be deemed controversial for some people, or like in the United States or whatever. I think it's fucking awesome, and I'm super happy for Alex, and I hope for the rest of the band that they're able to, you know, figure out how to, you know, best continue touring. It's not even that it's like, well, you should leave your country, because if you love Russia and that's where you're happy living, then of course live where you're happy. That's not the point, and I hope that in terms of the fighting that there's resolution there, but I'm not even going to touch on that because I hardly passed high school. So I don't know anything about any, I don't know anything about anything when it comes to politics. I'm not interested. And it's not because I don't have the self-awareness to know that there are issues. I just have the self-awareness to say that I'm not going to solve them. So we're not going to talk about it, but I think it's really fucking cool, and I hope that I get to meet him at some point, and yourself, because that would be really fucking fun. I hope that my band's not too soft for your band to play with my band. Would you play with my band?
Yeah, dude, 100%. Let's fucking do it. Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Me and Kirby want it to happen. We were literally just talking about it on the phone before we were on this call. But and then I was just like, yeah, I just wonder if like we're too soft for them, like, you know. But now that Alex is singing a little bit, maybe. The new stuff, the couple tunes you've been working on, is it a mix of the, like, extreme, brutal stuff and maybe still some of the, like, you know, chorus elements of, like, Baba Yaga and stuff like that?
I mean, from what we've written so far, like, this new track that's dropping definitely has a chorus. It's not so much clean singing, but it is got like a hook and it's got a chorus, and the structure is more like the songs on Costellum. But
cool,
yeah, it's still pretty heavy. We just went for like groove, you know, on this track, like pinch harmonics, shitloads of groove, and a little bit of melody thrown in at the end.
Dude, I love pinch harmonics.
Same.
That's great. Yeah.
So many. There's so many, man.
That's fucking awesome. That I like that one After the Burial song where the whole like, it's just pinches all over the place, and it's so fun, and it makes me want to crash my fucking car. It's great. That shit will come on, and I
it's fucking banger.
So good. But yeah, like them, Killswitch Engage, the Keepers of the Pinch. There's it's a necessary element. Otherwise, your band is sus if you're not using lots of delicious pinch harmonics. I just wouldn't say you're that metal. Nah. And if you're a guitar player and you don't have pinches, you're fucking mad pussy and you need to work on that shit. So that would suck. I would hate to be in a metal band but have no pinches. But
that would suck, dude.
There's someone out there who's in a band and his pinches suck, and he knows it, and he's hearing this, and he's like, "Wow, I need to go practice," because it is something. I've watched people in the studio have a pinch competition for the best pinch on a record, and it's necessary.
Yeah.
What kind of guitars do you play? What are you into?
At the moment, ESP. ESP.
Very cool. That's awesome. Daniel and Bobby from my band also play ESP.
Awesome. I know nothing about guitars. Like, I am a retard when it comes to any hardware, anything other than just writing songs. I don't even know why at this point. I've been doing it for so long, but there we go.
See, I'm not that good at playing them, but I fucking love guitars.
Yeah.
I try to make up for my lack of skill with knowledge or just wanting to buy shit because it's fun. And because it's why not have one? I have a few behind me.
Yeah, it's sick.
I have an announcement coming soon with my guitar stuff because I'm doing a little switcheroo. But people will find out. I think that the timing of this will work out. If not, I'm going to write down this in case I have to edit myself. There we go. Yeah, I'm going back to Music Man. I've been doing the Kiesel thing the last like 2 years, but I was Music Man for 5 years before that. I'm going to switch back. But,
oh, sick.
Done. You guys going on tour anytime soon?
Yeah, we have. We're doing Blue Ridge out in September.
Oh, that's going to be super fun.
Yeah. Are you guys on it as well?
We are.
Fuck yeah.
I forget what day we're playing.
Yeah.
But
same. Same, to be fair.
Yeah, that's going to be fun as shit. We did it last year, and it was a good time. Catering was dece. Sorry. Vapes, man. Vapes are harder than herbal ganja. They always make me cough. But that's cool. Are you just doing the one-off festival?
So we have a few shows around it, I believe. So like we're going to do a show, I believe, in LA, New York City, and fuck it, I think Florida.
That's where I live.
Yeah, in New York?
Yeah, I live like 20... Well, technically I live in Jersey City now. I did live in Brooklyn the last couple of years, but I live like 20 minutes driving from Manhattan.
Oh, so, wow. That's
which
great.
Means like it's 2 miles for me. It just takes you 20 minutes to drive there.
Yeah. Because
it's Manhattan.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, I drive through New York City every morning to take my wife to work. But I love it. It's great. It's fun. Good place. I will have to, I'm sure, well, no, the schedule's not out, I don't think, and won't be for a while. I hopefully will see you at the Blue Ridge. If not, I'll definitely come to the New York show, because that would be fun.
Yeah, dude, let's do it. Let's hang out. Get some tequila
seriously.
In. Yeah.
Oh, I can do that. That sounds great. Yeah, any, you know, obviously you can't reveal anything that's not announced, but any hopes that we will get a Slaughter US tour this year?
I think we'll definitely be trying to play shows around, you know, as much as we can this year, but there's nothing set in stone, to be fair. We just started working with Nick Storch, so we've got a new Adrian.
Bro.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Dude. He's a god. He is... When it comes to booking agents, it's as good as it gets. So, Nick Storch, for everyone listening, if you want to know anything about him, one of my favorite episodes of 100 Words or Less, the podcast hosted by Ray Harkins, featuring Nick Storch. Look it up anywhere you can listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Go listen to it. Dude is a fucking legend and one of the greatest booking agents to ever touch alternative music. Just a keeper of the dude knows how to spot talent and he puts the time into it. And I think that some people just don't have that eye. They don't know how to see something when it's in its infancy and be like, yeah, I can make this monster size. Big fan of Nick and what he does. But because I'm a big Coheed fan. So that's kind of, two of them kind of came up synonymously, which, and then you're like, hey, I'm Dance Gavin Dance. I'm going to go tour with Coheed. And I'm like, what? That's so cool. I wish I could be in Dance Gavin Dance, but I'm not. That band is just too large. They can send me money if they want, because I would love some of theirs. I've seen their merch sales previously, and it's asinine. But, yeah, so Dance Kevin Dance. Got any, you know, I don't know. Give some, you guys should do like a, just a fundraiser. You give away some money to me for fun. And I'm just kidding. I don't need your money, motherfuckers. I love that band. I'm sorry. I'm just rambling about them because I'm actually a Monster fan. They were one of those bands that, like, when we would do a Warp tour and they're on it, you can't help but watch them every single day because they're just, they suck you in. They're so great. So we're not going to necessarily get a tour. Maybe we will. Not really sure. We are getting new tunes, which is fucking awesome. Very excited. Anything else coming up on the horizon? Maybe like a neon sparkly mask. Anything fun?
Yeah, we've got about three of them coming out. You know, we got the nice pink mask. Yeah, neon.
I'm ready. Yeah,
let's do it. You know,
I think that would be pretty cool, honestly. A mask for the ladies.
Yeah,
we got for the softies.
Yeah, we got a couple, man. We got a nice purple one. We got a fucking one with flames on it now, man. It's like Guy Fieri mask, that style mask, man.
Dude, imagine that shit with those kind of pinstripe fucking flames on it. That would be fucking sick.
Dude, I gotta send you a link. We got it. Maybe that's what your mate's son wants.
Ethan, that's what he wants. Ethan. No, you guys got to get real gold ones, like ones made from real gold.
From real gold?
Yeah, that would be very expensive, but insanely G.
Yeah, I think you're right. But yeah, like, I don't know what we should do next with the mask. You know what? The original one had hair. It had a whole hair to it. A whole fucking
no way. Thing.
Yeah, dude. Dude, I'll go and send you a photo. He's brilliant. Like,
see, I could use that. That would be way cool for me.
The mask with the hair?
I'll keep this. Yeah, I just wish I had some. I wore a wig for one song on our last tour, but it was very hot, so I took it off. But I liked having the long hair and getting to, like, you know, windmill and shit. That was cool.
That's it.
Yeah, maybe someday. But, dude, you got anything else for the peoples or anything else coming up on the horizon you want to chat about before I let you go?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, right now we're in like full swing. We have new music. We got a whole new video dropping with it. That looks fucking awesome. We have some shows in September. We're going to be smashing it. You know, we're on our grind right now. We're going to be writing this new record over the summer writing new music anyway, whatever it ends up being. That's it, really. Just like keep an eye on shit, man, and just fucking go listen to some heavy music, even heavier than us.
Is it possible? Possibly, but not sure. Sang with Sugar Bog.
That's how you say it. Heavy. I've never tried to even say it, to be fair. But yeah, them.
I think it's sang with Sugar Bog. I think is how you say it. I tried with my sound guy, Brian, my friend, Brian, my tour manager, keeper of my life, Brian. Sanguish Sugar Bog. Yeah, Sanguish Sugar Bog. So that's what we're going to end the episode on today.
Go listen to
Sanguish Sugar Bog. Just go listen to that band because he sounds like a fucking Neanderthal. But Jack, thank you so much for hanging with me today. Thanks for chatting. Hang on 1 second so I can properly say goodbye to you off the air. But thanks for getting tucked, and I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. It's been a pleasure, mate. And thank you, everyone listening and shit, man. And thank you for your time. It's been awesome.
All right, that was the show, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Jack, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining me. I really want to see your band live. So Slaughter to Prevail, please. Let's do some U.S. dates. Let's make this shit happen. I want to see you. Maybe we can even play together one of these days. Wouldn't that be fucking lovely? Next up is Mikey from The Gloom in the Corner. We're going to talk all about their new record and their signing with Sharptone and the fact that I managed their band and the fact that I fucking love them. Here we go. And everyone, have a nice week. And as always, good.
That was the core of your innocent hate. Growth we took, flesh we ate. Love through the pain, nothing but food.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.